Good morning. We're looking at another great section of Scripture today, and it's found in Luke chapter 18, beginning in verse 31. And we want to ask you to open your Bible and read and follow along with us today. Luke 18, beginning in verse 31, and we'll read down through verse 34. In Luke 18, verse 31, the Bible says, "Then he took unto him the 12." Now, Jesus is talking here specifically to the 12 apostles, to the 12 disciples that he had chosen. "And he said unto them, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished." So Jesus here is indicating that he's on his final voyage. He's on that last mile of the way, so to speak, because he's going to Jerusalem and he knows what's going to happen there. He knows that he will die. He knows that he's going to be crucified. And so everything is now coming together. Jesus has been with these disciples for well over 3 years, and now it's coming to a final point. Now it's going to climax here when Jesus arrives in Jerusalem, and he's arrested, of course, and put to death. So from this point on in the book of Luke, what you're going to find is that Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem, and he's going to arrive there very soon in this book, and once he does, he's going to be there throughout the remainder of this book of Luke. Now, he says, we're going up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. So the Old Testament scriptures prophesied of Jesus' life, his birth, his death, his resurrection. All these things were written about in the prophets. Now, you might be in the audience this morning listening to this program, and you may have questions about the Bible. You may wonder whether the Bible is really the Word of God or not. Is it really inspired? Is it really the inspired Word of Almighty God? Or is it the fabrication of men, or has it been actually added to, and is it thus a mixture of the two? And then many of you have believed that the Bible is the inspired Word of God for many, many years. But regardless of whether you have questions or doubts concerning this topic, or whether you actually believe in the inspiration of the Bible, what I'm about to do here will help you. Because if you have questions, then you will see some evidence straight from the Bible that the Scriptures have to be from God Almighty. There's no way that these prophecies could have been delivered by mere human beings and then fulfilled hundreds of years later in the life of Jesus Christ unless these prophets were inspired of God. And if you already believe that the Bible is the inspired Word of God, then this is going to help you to believe it even more. This will build your faith in the inspiration of the Scriptures. So let me just go over briefly here about 10 prophecies of Jesus Christ. Let me start with the fact that Jesus was prophesied in Micah chapter 5, verse 2, as being born in Bethlehem. In Micah chapter 5, verse 2, the Bible says, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting." And of course, in Matthew chapter 2, verses 4 through 6, the Bible says that when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. Now this is Herod, and the Bible says that they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea," and then they quote Micah chapter 5, verse 2. Now Micah wrote hundreds of years before Jesus was born. So how could this have been fabricated? How could it have been planned and made up? There's no way. Micah was inspired of God, and that's the only logical and honest answer to that question. Well, the Old Testament also prophesied of the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. In Isaiah 7, verse 14, Isaiah said, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." Now, of course, that is quoted in Matthew chapter 1, 22 and 23, and we know that Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary. The Bible in the Old Testament also predicted that the Messiah would be betrayed for 30 pieces of silver. It didn't say 20. It didn't say 40. It did not say that he's going to be betrayed for some silver. It did not simply say in a general way that he's going to be betrayed for some money. It specifically prophesied hundreds of years before Jesus came to the earth that he was going to be betrayed for 30 pieces of silver. Zechariah chapter 11, verse 12. And I said unto them, if you think good, give me my price, and if not, forbear. So they weighed for my price 30 pieces of silver. And the Lord said unto me, cast it unto the potter, a goodly price that I was priced at of them. And I took the 30 pieces of silver and cast them to the potter in the house of the Lord. Now that reminds us, of course, of what Judas Iscariot later did. But this was fulfilled in Judas Iscariot going to the chief priest, and they agreed with him to give him 30 pieces of silver if he denied the Lord. And then, of course, when Judas Iscariot got that money, he really didn't want it, and he cast it back. The Old Testament also prophesied that Jesus Christ would be reproached by his enemies. Psalm 22, verses 7 and 8 says, all they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip, they shake the head, saying he trusted on the Lord, that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. And when you read the New Testament, you find those very words being said by the unbelieving Jews who did not realize that they were fulfilling the scriptures that they were so proud of when they said these words. Matthew chapter 27, verse 41 says, likewise also the chief priest, mocking him with the scribes and the elders, said, he saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the king of Israel, let him come down now from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now, if he will have him, for he said, I am the Son of God. The Old Testament also prophesied in Psalm 22, verse 16, that they would pierce his hands and his feet. Obviously, that was fulfilled when Jesus was nailed to the cross. And in Psalm 22, verse 18, the Old Testament prophesied, they part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. That was fulfilled, of course, when those soldiers cast lots for Jesus' garment. Then in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 7, the Old Testament, over 700 years before Jesus was even born, prophesied that he would be silent during his arrest. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opens not his mouth. The Old Testament also, in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 9, prophesied that he would be with the rich in his death. Isaiah 53, verse 9 says, and he made his grave with the wicked, that is, with those two thieves, and with the rich in his death. Now that was fulfilled, of course, because Joseph of Arimathea gave his sepulcher, or his tomb, so that Jesus could be buried in it. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 12 says that he was numbered with the transgressors, and Isaiah 53, verse 12 said also that he would intercede for the transgressors, and that was fulfilled when Jesus prayed, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Now, folks, this is just a small sampling of all the dozens of Old Testament prophecies about Jesus Christ that we can read in the Bible. This is absolute proof that the Bible is from God, and this ought to encourage every single one of us this very day. So Jesus says, I am going to Jerusalem, and all these scriptures are going to be accomplished. They're going to be fulfilled. And then he begins to elaborate in verse 32 and 33. He said, for he shall be delivered to the Gentiles, and shall be mocked, and spitefully entreated, and spitted on, and they shall scourge him and put him to death, and the third day he shall rise again. So on top of all these other Old Testament prophecies that these Jews had had for centuries, now Jesus is giving specific details about what is going to happen to him. He says that he's going to be mocked, and he was. He's going to be spitefully entreated, and he was. He's going to be spit on. All the way down to that specific detail, Jesus talks about what's going to happen to him. They shall scourge him. That's exactly what happened. They shall put him to death. That happened as well when he died on the cross. And the third day he shall rise again. So the disciples not only had these Old Testament scriptures to go back to in their minds about the Messiah and what would happen to him, but they also had these detailed predictions of Jesus Christ about what would happen when he died. And these predictions that Jesus makes are even more specific and more detailed than what you find in the Old Testament. And how did Jesus' disciples respond to this? What did the 12 say, or what did they think about what Jesus was talking about here? Well, let's read it here in verse 34. And they understood none of these things. And this saying was hid from them, neither knew they the things which were spoken. They did not understand. Now, you and I look back at that and say, why not? How could they not understand what Jesus was talking about? Because he plainly says in verse 31 that the Old Testament scriptures are about to be fulfilled in Jerusalem concerning him. And when you look at verse 32 and verse 33, you again wonder, well, why couldn't they understand? What is unclear about that? It seems to be very plain, so why did they not understand what Jesus was talking about? And here it is, folks. They had their mind made up about what was going to happen to the Messiah. They thought that the Messiah was going to reign as an earthly king in Jerusalem over Israel, and they could not imagine in their wildest dreams the Messiah actually being put to death and treated like this. He's going to be the king of Israel, and they thought that that meant an earthly, worldly, political leader. So to suggest, to even insinuate that the Messiah is going to be treated like that, much less even put to death, was something that they just could not put together in their mind. The reason being is that they had an idea in their mind that was wrong. They had an idea that had been there for a long, long time. And so our preconceived ideas will blind us. They will cloud our judgment. They will prejudice us against the truth or keep us from seeing the truth. And that's exactly what took place here. Now, folks, this is exactly why people can read something very clear and very plain in the Bible and not understand or not believe what it's saying. It's because they have a preconceived idea in their mind and they just cannot see through it. It reminds me of Jacob back in the Old Testament. You remember that when Joseph was delivered into slavery, that the brothers of Joseph came to their father Jacob and convinced him that Joseph was dead. Well, Jacob believed that his son Joseph was dead for over 20 years. And when they finally came back to him and told him, "Your son Joseph is alive," he didn't believe it at first. He had believed a lie so long that he didn't believe the truth when it was told to him. But eventually, of course, he overcame that. And that's what we hope and that's what we pray for with any of us when we have a preconceived idea, when we have a wrong idea about the Bible that keeps us from seeing the truth. And these disciples did overcome this wall of a preconceived idea. They eventually did understand what the kingdom was about, and they did believe what the scriptures and what Jesus had actually taught them. And we pray that it will be the same for anyone today who has something in his mind that keeps him from seeing the truth of God's word. Remember, Jesus said, "If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine." John 7, verse 17. Well, thank you for tuning in today. It's been a joy to study with you, and we hope that you have a great rest of the day.